darkness meandering down what once had been a road. Dirt and fallen stone concealed most of it, but adequate evidence remained if one but had the eye. I felt I was a different man after having crossed that line.
"You all right?" Rudy asked. "You look strange."
"It's strange over there. The same, but different."
"Huh?"
"I can't explain. That's the way it feels. You'll understand once you go up there."
Bucket joined us, wrapping rope into a coil. "You all right? You look like you saw a ghost."
"It's just weird over there."
"Weird how? You didn't do anything that strange."
"Except kind of forget yourself.
And your sidekick didn't do that. He just stood there and shivered."
"That's part of it. It feels cold. Only not physically cold. More like the cold Blade would claim you'll find in a priest's art."
I must have looked puzzled. Bucket said, "You're telling me you had to be there to understand."
I told Tydee, "The man acts as dumb as a stump, but he'll fool you sometimes."
"You got it exactly, Bucket. Get some fresh dust up here. And make sure those ropes are all taut and the shadow traps are all set. I want a full complement of..."
"Calm down," Rudy told me.
"You set it all up before, remember?"
Soldiers were at work making sure of our protection already. My fuss was a waste of worry. Tell you straight up, that was scary. It's gonna take me a while to wind down.
"You got a messenger ready to go?"
"I'll jot a report for the old man. Then I'm going to crawl into my bunker and get intimately acquainted with my last jug of One Eye's medicine." I had one jug of the little wizard's most potent distillate squirreled away for use in a medical emergency. This seemed like an emergency to me. Chapter 97. One Eye's elixir did not kill the fear. It only pushed it away briefly. The fear was amazing. It wasn't the sort that paralyzes, nor was it strong enough to impair my thinking, but it was there all the time, unfocused, not growing numb the way an ongoing battlefield fear will eventually, if nobody pops up to wail away at you with a piece of nicked-up iron. I didn't like it. It abraded my temper. I glared at Sleepy. "You ever going to be good for anything but turning food into shit?" Sleepy just sat there in the gathering darkness, on what used to be Mother Goda's pallet, staring into infinity. Not only was he not coming back from whatever fairy kingdom had captured his mind, he could hardly move anymore. He did very little of anything. When he did, it seemed to hurt him a great deal. If he kept on without exercising, he was going to have to hope one of his company brothers liked him enough to carry him. I liked him better than anybody but Bucket, but I didn't like him that much. "See you when we get back, little guy." We are not a march-or-die outfit. Not quite. We try to take care of our own. But there's an underlying assumption that our own will try to manage for themselves first. There are plenty of precedents for ending the misery of a brother who becomes too great a burden or risk to the rest of the company. Sleepy didn't respond. He never did. I rolled onto my pallet. I tried not to think about having to go up the mountain again tomorrow. The heebie-jeebies got worse if I did. I felt Soulcatcher somewhere nearby. The darkness was total, though. I couldn't find her. Maybe it was my good fortune that she wasn't...